Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
That, of course, is the Jeffersons theme song, and you've probably heard by now that Sherman Hemsley died yesterday. He was the actor who played George Jefferson, both on All in the Family and then the spinoff show The Jeffersons, which ran on CBS from 1975 to 1985. The Jeffersons, if you don't know it, were a black family who famously moved on up to a deluxe apartment on the Upper East Side from Archie Bunker's Queens neighborhood. And right now we're opening up the phones for any of you who saw yourself reflected by the characters on the Jeffersons. 212-433-WNYC. Were you part of an African-American family who moved from somewhere like Queens to somewhere like the Upper East Side after becoming successful in business? 212-433-9692. Did that show reflect your experience in any other way? Did you see yourself or your parents maybe reflected by George or his wife Louise, a.k.a. Wheezy? Or did you maybe define your family against or in contrast to that story, including some of the biases that George Jefferson, the character, held? Call us right now, 212-433-WNYC. What was your family's relationship with the fictional family of the Jeffersons? 212-433-9692. And joining us to take your calls and put the Jeffersons into some historical and pop cultural context is Michael Eric Dyson, sociology professor at Georgetown and the author of many books. Hey, Professor Dyson, welcome back to WNYC.
Brother Lair, always great to be here, my friend.
Were the Jeffersons part of your life in the 70s and 80s?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I watched avidly, as did millions of other African-American people and black families across America, looking at the humor, looking at the biting, ironic, sardonic wit of George Jefferson, or later of Florence, you know, Marla Gibbs, and looking at the interactions between George Jefferson and his son Lionel, or between George Jefferson and his beloved wife Wheezy. So it was an incredible show, and some of the social issues that are vetted through comedy became apparent on that show and allowed America a peek inside one particular take on an African-American's rise above the status that he was supposed to occupy, and the complications and challenges that resulted once you moved on up to that deluxe apartment in the sky.
Indeed. And just to jog people's memory, 12 seconds of George and Wheezy.
See how good a piano makes them places look? Yes, but those are big homes. That's old money, George.
So, the only difference between old money and new money is that the new money crackles more.
So, does that just make you laugh, Professor Dyson, or does it make you cringe a little bit as a caricature of how upwardly mobile black families supposedly acted as they moved on up?
Well, no. I mean, you know, look, one particular representation can't carry the weight for the entire race, which is the dilemma that most black art finds itself in, that it can never be free. You know, it can never be as free as, say, Tom Cruise, who's not worried about all white men being seen through his lens, or Brad Pitt doesn't have to worry about that, or Gwyneth Paltrow does not worry about that. But, you know, black art, because so little of it is allowed to see the light of common day in the mainstream, has to be worried about what James Baldwin termed the burden of representation. But it doesn't make me cringe because, you know, it was far less a caricature than some other, you know, representations of blackness we might point to.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly represented one particular family's take through humor on some serious issues. You know, when George Jefferson was slinging around the H word, I guess we might call it, he was giving voice to how some black people talked among themselves in rebellion against being demonized in the larger white society. So it provided a peak, a humorous one to be sure, and not one that was as complicated and complex as some might have liked, But George Jefferson as a character was an interesting and provocative figure. And even if we disagreed with some of the portrayals and representations he put forth, mm-hmm. or his character did, we certainly knew that bigger issues were being taken into consideration. And this was a forerunner of subsequent comedies and dramas that were far more complicated.
Let's hear from some callers. 212-433-WNYC. Karen in Harlem, you're on the air. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. So when we moved from the Valley in Harlem to Riverside Drive, we made up our own version of the song. Moving on up to the west side, to a deluxe apartment on the drive. And every time my mom went to the store, like in shorts, we were like, no, we live on the drive now. You can't do that.
I like your version of the song. Any other reflection on the show?
It was just interesting to see, you know, African Americans who we knew existed, who had real jobs. I mean, our family had two working parents, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Actually on TV without any, you know, not to disparage anybody, but, you know, he might have said the H word, but he didn't say dynamite. And even my brother, when he was in school, and he called his fiance at the time Wheezy. So it just created many cultural touchstones.
Right. Thank you very much. And dynamite, a reference to the character on Good Times, another show of the era. Roland.
Jimmy Walker.
Right. Who just wrote a book. Looking back on that, and I guess he was never happy about how he, as an actor, got stereotyped by that dynamite and that thing
well,
he played as a
you
young
know, his
guy.
Subsequent politics as a right-wing conservative would suggest that he would have never taken the part to begin with, but that's for another conversation.
I guess. Roland in Baltimore, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was a student when the show ran, I guess in the mid-70s, and my dad owned three dry cleaning stores in Baltimore. And when he was very successful, we lived in a great neighborhood. We were the first black family to buy a house in an exclusive Jewish neighborhood. And when we all came home for Christmas, my siblings and I, we all joked about how the fact that we had all been called the Jeffersons by our dorm mates.
Mm.
But more interestingly, I had a conversation with one of my classmates at Columbia, who said to me that, your dad's got three dry cleaning stores. He's had, like, kind of an Asian experience, hasn't he? So you're more like Indian or Chinese than you are black. I always found that interesting.
Thank you very much. And that's, boy, you can't get much closer than that if his dad actually owned some dry cleaning stores. Arthur in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Arthur.
Hello, sir. Good morning. All right. With the Jeffersons, I appreciated the entertainment and the social commentary, especially actually coming from Mr. Archie Bunker or All in the Family, which is actually one of my all-time favorite shows of all time, and the offshoots of these shows, such as the Jeffersons and such as even Maud and Good Times and, you know, the shows mm-hmm. that they progressed, you know, put forth. Mm-hmm. And, moving on up, you know, so this is a social commentary, and this is something that, you know, we as black people, as all people, would look forward to as far as progressing in society to make your life a little better and your children's life a little better and whatever. But, it didn't always work, but it worked then. And Mr. George Jefferson, Mr. Sherman Hemsley, I appreciate his, you know, input into society and then to entertainment. And Miss Isabel Sanford also is Wheezy, and the other characters on the show.
Citing the actress's name. Arthur, I'm going to leave it there for time, but thank you very much. Who, Michael Eric Dyson, do you think the show's target audience was? Who did George Jefferson appeal to? He was energetic and combative, a little snobby, a little bit of a bigot. Who were the producers and writers reaching with this portrayal? Did they think they were going to get a large white audience as well as an African-American audience? What was the marketing strategy?
Yeah, I think that they certainly understood that, this was a novel entree into middle class existence. Remember, this is a decade before The Cosby Show, when
right.
Bill Cosby remakes the American imagination about what black upward mobility is about. But George Jefferson is an aspirational character. Long before there would be aspirational rap, where you have rappers talking about high-end Audemars and Hubos and whatever kind of cars and watches that they might accumulate, this was the version of black upward mobility that was being sold not only to white America, but to the glee of many African American people who felt that their experiences were not being represented on television, and this was a start. So it had that interesting Norman Lear tie-in through All in the Family, and then the black folk, who are usually the background of any particular story in white America, the ancillary or incidental characters, become center stage. And as the previous caller said, spawned the Jeffersons, so it's part of the white visual construct of what black America is about, but it also speaks to black people's defiance of stereotypes and insistence that, hey, we can be part of the American dream too. So I think both of those demographics were being targeted, and probably quite successfully.
And you mentioned Cosby. I think that show started in the last season of The Jeffersons,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And ran from 84 to 92, I believe. And, of course, the Cosby family was further upwardly mobile, and so you can see the direct progression from the Jeffersons to Cosby on television. Beverly in Washington Heights, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Nice to speak with you. Yeah, my take on the Jeffersons was fun for us to be entertained by, and my family certainly did go from extended family of 12 in a two-bedroom apartment on 8th Avenue in Harlem in the Valley to then the projects in the early, late 50s, then eventually to a brownstone. So we moved in, not up, but, you know, in terms of the vertical, but in terms of a different location and home ownership. We didn't leave the city. My parents refused to leave Harlem when things were very tough in the late 60s, early 70s. Instead, we bought property, and my brother-in-law bought property, and he now has three apartment buildings in the Bronx. So instead of running, we purchased some of the dilapidated brownstones, and fortunately we got into one that was quite nice. Doctors had moved out to Denver, and we were able to get a very nice piece of property. So that's our take on the Jeffersons moving on up, but like I said, not vertically to high rises, but quite horizontally to you know, a little better living condition.
Right, and your family moved on up and stayed put in the neighborhood by contrast. Beverly, thank you. All right, Michael Eric Dyson, we have 20 seconds. Do you have a favorite show on television these days?
Breaking Bad. I follow that very, very closely when I have time to actually watch some television, man. And Scandal with Kerry Washington is quite a powerful take on Washington and its endurance. So Scandal and Breaking Bad are among my favorites.
Six-word review, Right to the Clock, by Michael Eric Dyson, sociology professor at Georgetown University. Thanks for talking about the Jeffersons with us.
Thank you, my friend.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.